Was the story of the Paramounts, because you guys disbanded in 1966.
We played all over Britain by then and even started going abroad, playing in Scandinavia and Germany. We did television appearances very often. We were doing quite well, but it was kind of drying up a bit. I mean, you have to really keep on playing all the time. And in the end, we took a backing job with Sandy Shaw, who had just had a hit in Britain. Having done that, the manager of Sandy Shaw, who's a lady named Eve, we finished playing with Sandy, and she sort of took it easy for a while. Eve also managed another act called Chris Andrews, who had had hits as well, Yesterday Man. And we got offered that, and we didn't have much on, so we said yes. It was a German tour. But it was one step too far for Robin Fowler. He was hard-pressed to back Sandy Shaw, but when it came to Chris Andrews, he said, "I'm sorry, guys, I quit." Robin left, and we got somebody else to play guitar on that tour. And at the end of it, in whenever it was, probably autumn 1966, we said, "Right, that's it, let's pack it in." I decided I'll become a songwriter instead. I'm retired.
Retired at the tender age of what, 21?
19.
No, 19, haven't you?
Yeah.
Did you have any plans to be a songwriter? Did you know publishers? What was your next step?
No, I'd already teamed up with Keith Reed, who was a lyricist. Even when the Paramounts were going, we'd got together and written three or four songs. We were writing more then when the Paramounts stopped and trying to get people to record them.
Any luck?
No, not at all.
Oh, dear. So what was your plan B?
Well, plan B, well, if nobody wants to cover our songs, Gary, you'll have to come out of retirement and you'll have to sing them. So I said, all right. And so we found musicians, Keith and I did, that we felt we wanted to make this particular sound. Bass, drums, guitar, they kind of go without saying, but we want to have two keyboards. We want to have me on the piano singing and also a Hammond organ. We didn't want an organ with the Animals type sound or Manfred Mann type sound. We wanted a Hammond organ, which had a particular sound. So we just went about finding good people. We were only doing our own songs.
And so did you and Keith have to pay for the recordings?
We didn't. We just rehearsed and people came and people left. And eventually we got it all together. The music publisher also had a record production company. So really the publisher paid for us to get going. And then he went out and sold A White Shade of Pale to whoever wanted to buy it.
Why did he pick that particular tune, Gary, besides having a lot of foresight?
He thought it was a hit. We weren't traditional. That was one of the concepts. The thing was, he wanted to do something different. We thought we were doing something different. I did try from my connections, try and get, for instance, White Shade of Pale recognised. I think I made a demo, or the band as it stood made a demo. Even people like George Martin, bless him, he said, "It's rather long, Gary, 4.5 minutes. I said, "Well, we've got to do two verses and a couple of choruses, otherwise might as well not get going," and that's how long it is. Anyway, they were all wrong.
You must have had an instinct that this song was a bit more special than others that you'd written?
Not especially, it was just one of our songs amongst, I don't know if we'd written 10, 12, it was just one of them. It's just that when we went into the studios properly for the first time, that was the one we took along there, and one or two others we tried as well. But A White Shaded Pale was, I mean, you only have 4-track recording, so it was played and sung live, no overdubbing. The way the microphones worked, the sort of sound that it got, worked. You thought, wow, that sounds great. We actually changed our drummer with it. Well, sorry, that was not our real drummer that played on it. When we got our real drummer, we tried to re-record it just so that he was on it, and we couldn't get anything like the same sound. Well, it was the same instruments and everything, same studio, but just something happens sometimes when you've got only 4 tracks.
A legendary song now, because it's one of the 30th biggest singles ever, and it's a good way to start, Gary, when you can sell over 10 million records. So you would have had instant overnight success there.